You know, for a university project that went completely out of hand, this is wild even by our standards. Welcome to the 300th episode of Motorsport 101. I don't even know how to start this off. I am Dre Harrison. Good evening, everybody. And yeah, one more time from the top. Welcome to the 300th episode of Motorsport 101. I don't even know where to start. It was a
How about that school project, Dre?
Oh, for those that might be a little bit new to that don't quite know our history and whatnot, this was a university project that it was the final year of my university degree in broadcast journalism, and it was write a 10,000-word thesis, or do some sort of special project. And years ahead of its time, I said, I'm doing a podcast, which if I said that in 2021, I'd be gunned down in flames because everyone and their mother has a podcast these days. If you could think of it, someone's done a podcast for it. And one autumn afternoon, me and an old buddy of mine, Ryan King, after being on his old show, I decided to invite him onto my first episode, and it was to review a highly riveting 2014 Russian Grand Prix. No, I don't know how we got to 300 episodes either, but we did somehow. And with me, it's like we have the history of the show, or nearly all of it, all the history of the show with me, alongside me on this little journey. So we couldn't get Adam in here because obviously he was a major part of it as well. But from episode one. Mr. Ryan King, hello, sir.
Yes, I've been on more episodes of this program than you.
You have to remind me of this.
Sometimes life gets in the way.
One of these days, I will get someone like Kelly or Shuckle to work out an exact attendance list to find out just how far behind I am. But King never calls in sick, never takes a day off. He's always online. He's the Russell Wilson of podcast hosts. Hashtag no days off.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure the only episode I missed was due to surgery. And I think that was I on the show that week even still? It was because it was
I don't
on
think
it was
so.
it was tragically the post Pocono episode after we lost Justin Wilson.
Oh yeah, God, I remember that now. Yeah, that was a rare one. It's like it doesn't have a yeah, like oh God, like the fact that I can barely remember that says about the amount of episodes King has missed. I think it's in single digits, and I think I could cover it on one hand and have fingers left over. Or it's certainly close to that. That's
the Cal Ripken Jr. of the Motorsport 101 podcast.
Start after start,
always
there.
No matter what
at
we do, we
shortstop.
Can't make him log off.
No, never. I can't disconnect him from the Riverside studio. I can't do it. It's just he's still there. Coming in from our sophomore era, I guess you could say, once we settled down with Johnson, and Johnson obviously went on to find other projects and whatnot, he made a suggestion that a certain coach would be a good fit for us, and it turns out he was a great fit for us, and that person is RJ O'Connell. Hello there, sir.
I'm amazed that I've come this far along in the project, starting full season number 5 of being on the Motorsport 101 podcast, and Lord knows there have been many times where I have worried that y'all couldn't accommodate me, that my takes were good enough to be on the show, that people can't stand me for whatever reason, and that's all just the insecurities that just creep into my head. I don't know how I've lasted this far, but thank you, Dre, for having me on. Thank you, King, for having me on. And thank you to everybody who's watched and listened. I appreciate it. It makes me feel valued as a person. in some strange way, because, I mean, what else am I going to contribute to this space? I can't drive for myself, I don't have a business degree, I can't manage anything, and I don't have the mental resolve to become a full-time influencer. So, this is fine enough!
You mean Squarespace haven't gotten in touch yet? No? No adverts from Raid Shadow Legends or anything like that? No?
it's either this or the obsession over Japanese motorsport that I've made my thing. And I've tried not to push into this platform sometimes.
It's adjacent. We can work with this. That's how we started, and that's how we're still here now. And... No, look, I can't take the credit for that one at all. That was Johnson's idea, and I trust Adam when it comes to those sorts of things, and he was very, very right in his decision-making, so you could take it from me on this one. And finally, down in the bottom right, our newest full-time addition to the show, and Mr. Sports Car himself, Mr. I'm Angry Constantly at Boston Sports.
Oh, you're right about that one.
Mr. Cameron
Buckley.
Draft
day was something. I don't know. I don't know how I've lasted this long on the show. I guess you guys like me or something. I don't know why. But,
you pay the rent, it works.
Yeah. You know, I can't think of a better crew to, just shoot the shit about motorsport with, and to have a platform for my occasionally quality, occasionally awful takes is fun.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Not to be confused with the band that performed the hit classic Some Nights.
And, I came into this podcast with a rant about sports cars, and I'm still here with rants about sports cars. Catch that on episode 301.
Oh, God.
For those who don't know, this was recorded after that, and I still haven't recovered. I don't know if I ever will.
It's just like the wound runs deep with Cam on that one. Yeah, look forward to that on episode 301. Warning, it was 25 minutes long.
It was 25 minutes and it could have gone for another hour.
Yeah,
to save energy for another show.
I know!
Yeah.
We had to talk about Formula E in Valencia after all of that. How did we manage, honestly? Like, it was King's idea. It was like, maybe we shouldn't record 3 episodes in a day. And you know what? He was absolutely right.
Yeah.
it still felt like 3 episodes in one day by the end of it. But,
It did. And I was just in the back listening for most of the second half of that one. I was just like, just let Cam go until he's finished. Like, well,
I've got this problem where the strings on my hooded sweatshirt, they're... I can't get the other end of it to feed through, and it's really bothering me, and I realize it's going to be distracting for everybody that's watching it on video, to which I say, I'm not sorry. I just want the string to come out. I just want this to line up the same way as this, okay? My mom paid good money to get this for me as a birthday gift, because she knows how big a Fernando Alonso fan I am, or at least used to be, or maybe still am. I don't know. It doesn't bring me joy anymore. So go watch it fucking out on the lower end of the points.
I was
going to
say, you are now forced to put your faith in Alpine. I'm so sorry.
But the car is blue and beautiful. And
it is.
You call that airbox beautiful?
It's thick.
Beauty is
with two
C's. It is USS Big Thickums.
And if you're tuning in for the first time, we're sorry. Yeah. Well, I am anyway. RJ clearly is proving he isn't. He's
sorry I didn't do it sooner. My best Jeff Jarrett voice.
Now, like, we've been through a lot together. We've covered Formula One, we've covered MotoGP, we've covered IndyCar, sports cars, IMSA. You name it over the years. And while we're filling down the pot a little bit as we go into our freeze, the difficult third album, so to speak, or fourth, I guess, if you want to describe it like that.
Is this the one where we go into the studio together and we all just hit each other with guitars and drum sets and various other instruments?
No. This is the one where the vocalist records in another studio from the rest of the band because They're way too much baggage for everybody else in the band to handle. Yes, this is the late years of Pantera that I'm describing, for those of y'all who don't know.
Well, to be fair, I am like the one Brit left on this show, so it wouldn't be surprised if I'm like hosting from literally another continent. Like, the boot already fits, so to speak, on this one.
Are you ready to relocate to New York City, Dre?
Depends on the house prices.
Well,
well, I am depends, considering
Dre.
It.
How do you feel about Nick's gear?
King's already got that in spades.
See, I'm not sure about orange as a color, you know, like it's
not only are you alienating this city, but you're alienating an entire country.
Well, wouldn't be the first time on this podcast now, would it? Oh dear. But in this 300 episode, obviously we're going to shoot the shit about being a part of Motorsport 101 in general, of course, over the course of the next
I'm just going to take the hoodie off.
So you can subscribe to us on OnlyFans.
You left your headphones on. And they're off now. Oh, God. Ladies and gentlemen, friends of the non-binary, I'm sorry. We are a shambles.
Yeah, this is the most creative intro we have ever had to a podcast, by the way. Like, RJ is stripping on cam while trying to figure out his headphones.
Well, if he keeps King doing that, we might be able to buy an LMP2 and go qualify top 5 at Spa.
Sure, why not? You know, it's cheap. You happy now, RJ? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm no just, longer... I probably should have done that sooner because it's hot, and I've been feeling hot ever since that second shot got in my body yesterday as of the day of recording.
You're lucky. Fully vaccinated everybody else is on the show. I've not even had my first jab yet. Way to go, Britain.
No, please. Thanks, I got Boris. That. Yeah, you know, King and I got that that limited edition J&J drip in our veins.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's gone over well lately, hasn't it, fellas? I mean, how you feeling over there right now? You nervous?
I don't know. I think they're feeling nervous about what they're going to order from the pizzeria when we all go out to eat in person again.
Yep. Well, as long as it's not anything equivalent to what Sergio Perez orders for pizza, I think we'll all be okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll just go to a fine New York-based local pizzeria, like Pizza Hut,
just
for
get
instance.
A classic slice. Don't overthink.
I was going to say, if any of us... King's about to hurt everyone.
Oh dear. I can't remember the last time I've seen King so angry while on the podcast. Like he wanted to strangle somebody.
No, we're all going to go out in New York. We're all going to get pizza. One of us is going to put tuna on it, and King is just going to sock us right in the face.
Yeah.
Would you like to know... It would be
completely justified. It'd
be deserved.
Would you like to know what the where New York ranks on the list of states with the best pizza?
It better be one.
To Food and Wine magazine. No, it's number 3.
Oh.
Just below the state of Connecticut, baby. What's up?
Oh.
This is a win for New England.
Are you trying to drive King off this podcast, RJ? This is episode 300. Settle down.
Yeah,
okay?
let's get to the housekeeping.
Let's get to the housekeeping before King kills us all. Like... And you two will be first, because you're the Americans here. He's got to get over an entire ocean to get to me. No,
he'll have to go up through Boston, and I'll just tell everyone that he's a Yankees fan.
Oh.
He'll never get through that mob.
Housekeeping. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter at motorsport_101. Usernames are on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube. If not, they're in the description down below, as well as the audio version of the show. Again, we are at Harrison101HD, at Ryan Eric King, at RJ O'Connell, and at CBuckby917. Think like it's a Porsche. I'll go with that. You'll find it soon enough.
Exactly.
And you can follow us on Instagram if you like as well for extra hit bits, little intros, video snippets, no news when new episodes go live on there as well. Motorsport 101 Pod, you can check us out on there. as well. And if you really, really like us, and hey, it is our 300th episode, so, you know, why not chip in a little bit? It's patreon.com/motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our audio episodes a lot before they go out, at least 24 hours before they're actually released to the public. $10, you can upgrade to the video versions of all the shows early as well. You also get access to the Supporters Club of our Discord server, where you can listen to these episodes live as they're being recorded. Shout out to everyone on YouTube that's watching along with us right now, like Vic and Jason. Shout out to you guys in there. Shout out to Vic as well, particularly, as a quote, okay, but when are we getting an M101X finish line crossover? Just showing our age there, eh, King?
Trey, do you remember when you were on my first podcast? Like,
I do.
That episode should not come to light for a variety of reasons.
let's just say it's for redacted. Many. Let's just say for many a reason it hasn't aged well. we'll bury that somewhere in the archives of the internet.
Leave it. Just leave it.
This whole podcast is a learning experience for all of us. We have changed, our opinions have changed as people have changed around us. And it's going to continue to be like that for however long we can stand to work with each other.
Which, the way you're going, RJ, might be like one, maybe two more episodes after your opinions on pizza. Shout out to all you guys in the chat. Shout out to Zoe in there as well. She still recommends an Ultimate Mario Kart battle, which really will end the podcast early for all concerned. Shut up, Cam. We all know you're the best at Mario Kart.
View my Twitter for me violating the Geneva Conventions at Dre and Zoe and supporter of the show, Tony.
If I can, if I ever can redeem myself on pizza takes, is that Italian sausage is so much better than pepperoni in every single conceivable way.
Agreed.
As like a meat. Pepperoni is just like, you have to be so pepperoni pilled to just go with that as your go-to topping.
I like them both. But I'm not going to go out of my way to top my pizza with either.
Just buy a margarita. Right, shall we get into the main discourse of this episode? Before we get lost in the sea of pizza opinions.
Before we have to start ordering pizzas. Former CEO of a pizza conglomerate, so we can test the different flavors.
Everybody does that on YouTube these days. Speaking of which, we'll be talking a lot about that right now after this. We had, like, me and King beat our heads together on this one for episode 300 a little bit, and he decided to go back to my old days when I was a young and handsome Formula One YouTuber. Many days and hair and pizza has gone past since then, and I wouldn't quite stunt on that hard. But back then, when I was when people used to refer to me as Harrison 101, to be fair, some still do. I got angry a lot at the state of how F1 YouTube was at certain points in my career, I guess you could say, or my time on YouTube, and it was referred to, I guess I call it a state of the community, and we did that a couple of times, and, well, I think I did it 3 times in total, if memory serves, on the channel, and it was all very hot takey, and it totally wasn't conducive as the way we consume sports media now. No. But we decided to do our own little version for Motorsport 101 to celebrate episode 300, because we're not only really celebrating our own milestone, we also wanted to talk about the state of play amongst motorsport media in general, as well as recommend some of our own suggestions of places you should probably check out in the meantime. I mean, King, I mean, I've got to be honest, this was mostly your idea. I mean, what do you make of the state of play right now? And we can follow off of that.
I'd say it's a very, very, very mixed bag. Mm. Where back when we first started out, there was like pretty much no real official content from any championship. It was very lackluster. Nowadays, it's the complete opposite, where there's so much officially made and sanctioned content for motorsports online that if you want to follow series completely online, you could. Well, you can now. While it feels like in terms of, I say user-made content, what I mean, like, in terms of actual media covering motorsport, it's the exact opposite of how it is back then, where it feels like there are a lot more people talking about motorsport in an actual, you know, packaged and thought-out way in terms of, like, say, videos, podcasts. Nowadays, it's mainly just hot takes on social media now. That's what the youngins are into nowadays.
Well, none of us subscribe to that idea now, do we?
No, never. Well, I never made my name for myself doing that or anything like that along those lines, ever. No, I was totally never an opinion-based YouTuber. No. I mean, yeah, I hate that me and King have been around this game long enough where we're now calling people younguns, and it's actually 100% justified, because I remember, this is going to sound really old, the first video I ever uploaded on Harrison 101 will be 10 years old on September 1st.
Oh my it's my goodness.
It'll be my 10th anniversary of
as
me being a
content creator.
As oh a content creator, which, I mean, a Formula One content creator, because I've actually been doing YouTube vids in various ways since 2008. But, like, 2011 was when I first personally got started, and King's dead right in that back then, the only real content, you would be more likely to see Formula One content on Machinima than you would on any official platforms, because it was
Jesus,
all
that's a name that brings me back to some dark times.
Let's say you look at it then, and you see the discourse coming out of Formula One towards social media, because Formula One management at the time, specifically one Mr. Ecclestone, kind of just brushed it off because people on social media, in his own words, weren't Formula One's market, despite the fact that they were.
Yeah, I don't think it was until like a magical weekend, I want to say in Singapore, I think it was 2015, where it was like, all of a sudden, the F1 YouTube channel and social media just came alive. And it was just like, we have hashtags for the Grand Prix now, and we've got YouTube videos of coverage of the weekend going up. And this was like, Formula One was like 2 or 3 years behind the curve when this started happening. And then all of a sudden, it's exploded.
Yeah, I mean, by 2015, you had series like the World Endurance Championship, NASCAR, even IndyCar a little bit. Really figuring out how to gain an audience via social media and then continue to feed that audience with content and really grow a community online around the sport.
Indeed. And yeah, like I said, F1 was definitely late to this party, but you could see what it's become now, where you can't go a day without a new video now, because let's be honest, YouTube's algorithm rewards that now. They reward the daily user.
Sensory overload.
Yeah, it's like they want to reward the person that's tuned in every day, like they would if they were watching the news in the 90s, where 6 o'clock in the UK, for example, you sit down and you watch the news. That's what you did as a family, and now it's the same with YouTube now and whatnot, and it's wild. And yeah, like
King knows about the infamous pivot to video strategy that a bunch of publications way outside of the motorsport world tried to do about a handful of years ago, and it of course had a detrimental effect. But there are still remnants of that today. Like being a motorsport adjacent content creator, making videos, being a video essayist, you know, that's a full-time job. And one thing that is cool about that is that, like, hey, you don't need to go to school for 4 years to get a journalism degree to have like an impact as an opinion maker in the space. It gives more people like a chance to have their voices heard, for better, sometimes for worse, but ultimately I think it's better that way. I think we're all like decent examples of it.
It gives
what
you
do you
more...
mean I spent $14,000 on that degree for nothing? Boris,
oh my god.
As a Medill grad.
I say me with no me with no university degree on the same podcast.
Join the club. As I dust off my old broadcast journalism degree, which is literally somewhere in that wardrobe as we speak. I give it a yearly clean just to make sure. Because
though it does feel like on YouTube today specifically that a lot of the F1 content put out is sort of just parroting or regurgitating the same talking points made by the actual commentators of the race and, say, major media members who post for major publications, where people just talk about the stories that they hear other people talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's hard space to break into. If you want to stand out, you're going to have to do something really, really out there.
Yeah.
Like, I'd honestly, like, and this is not to discourage anybody, but I don't even know, like, find a niche, like, making content for something that isn't Formula One or NASCAR, because those two especially seem like the most oversaturated markets when it comes to, like, making videos about a certain sport. And that's not to say that we won't be talking about Formula One or NASCAR YouTube content creators in this episode, but it's just a really hard thing to do. It's like, with baseball nowadays, pretty much everybody has a baseball opinion page. So, basketball the same way. You're going to have to do something a lot different in order to stand out.
Mm-hmm. But I'd say to a certain degree, you have to talk about F1 and NASCAR, because their popularity in terms relative to other motorsports is by orders of magnitude larger than everything else. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It has been for
those are the big
decades.
Two. Yeah. Those are the big two by a country mile. And as a guy that's covered multiple sports on my old channel, Harrison 101, and obviously a little bit for Motorsport 101 as well, like, take it from me. Formula One blows every other major European-based series. Like, F1 destroys MotoGP, for example. I'll tell you that for free right now. For, like, every, like most F1 content will destroy the two-wheeled version, like, 3 or 4 times to 1 comfortably. As King alluded to, across the pond, obviously, where there's more of a base, obviously, in the United States, NASCAR is, again, very, very... Well, I wouldn't say bloated, but certainly there's a lot of it out there, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was a sport that American Open Wheel Racing.
Yeah. After American Open Wheel Racing lost so much critical mass in its war, NASCAR took its place, and even on the decline that has been going for over a decade now, NASCAR is still many times the size of IndyCar and IMSA put together.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they were one of the first series that actually figured out, like, hey, maybe let's be cool with social media instead of, you know, trying to clamp down on people who put content about it.
Yeah, NASCAR will never turn down an opportunity to advertise, now will they?
No, never. Not in many years.
Even bad publicity is free publicity.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow on from what King was saying as well, was that, like, about, you know, content in general and what we have now. I mean, I personally am in the camp that Formula One content on YouTube is pretty much split into two main categories. It's either the big mainstream news sites, Autosport, Motorsport.com, The Race, etc., and, like, a lot of, again, just generic news-based videos, like, you know, here's 6 reasons why Sebastian Vettel struggled in Bahrain, and, you know,
it morphs into one big feedback loop of content that all feels like you're saying slightly different things, but all your points are exactly the same.
Yeah. And
so it turns into just, again, a big feedback loop.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, that's one half of the pie for me, and I generally ignore that first half, because a lot of what they say I can either just read or get via a tweet or on a link on their website.
Oftentimes we hear what they say on the broadcast for the race anyways, because that's what the commentators have already said.
And then we've got the second half of the pie, which is people like us, the influencers, those that are, you know, trying to squeeze any originality out of what's left, and, you know, not trying so hard to be the quote-unquote news guys, but they end up sounding like the news guys, and I'd say, chuck in some of the more generic content that is designed to spike a big viewership rating, like a tier list or a ranking video or some sort of
the
list
formula
or race
kind
review.
Of,
yeah.
The formula has kind of been cracked. Mm. The formula has been cracked on what people know is going to generate clicks, and clicks are king more often than not when... Mm. As RJ said, it makes it very difficult to break into the space when the people who have been at this and who are part of one of those two camps know the formula to have safe viewership.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like... but I'd say that, personally, that there isn't one formula. There's a formula... Oh,
there's a few different ones at play
there,
all the
no,
time.
No, wait. There's a formula that all the big people are doing, and then people assume that's the only way to do it, so they copy their formula. Because, like, looking at other sports, probably, like, my favorite non-motorsport channel at the moment is, like, I don't know how many of you people know of this, but when it comes to basketball, like, formally... Jason Concepcion did his weekly show for The Ringer called NBA Desktop. Now he's
fantastic
left The
show,
Ringer, and he's continued on as NBA All Caps, and it's basically a weekly review of what's happening in the National Basketball Association, but in a completely insanely creative style. In that it's not only a review of what happened during the games, but it's also a review of what the media is doing, what generally fans are doing on social media as well. It is such an interesting take on a sports league in a weekly, you know, week in review format that literally no one else is doing.
I'm gonna have to check this out.
I've watched a couple episodes when it was on The Ringer, and I wasn't the biggest fan of The Ringer for a little while, but that was one of the shows that stood out as genuinely fantastic when Jason Concepcion was there. Like, I can completely vouch for this 110% tremendous show. We don't have anything like that in motorsport. No, nowhere close to that on motorsport on that level.
I'd say that, like, to me, the level of creativity from not only, like, the big traditional motorsports media outlets, but just average content creators in the motorsport realm is severely lacking. And I don't want to say it's a new thing, because it's always been a thing since we started, where there's rarely anyone who does anything creative. And if we do see it, it's a literal, like, flash in the pan, like, someone else coming in to do something really creative, and then going back to what they normally do outside of motorsport.
Yeah. I know exactly who you're referring to, King. I'm not going to mention them directly, but yeah, it's... I know exactly what you mean. I've said it before, like, some people that make motorsport videos on occasion smack 95% of what's already out there. And I literally said on our Discord, on Twitter as well, that I saw one person's video referring to something about NASCAR, and I felt like this is 98% better than everything else that's out there. And it's a bit embarrassing that we specialize in this space and, like, part-timers can come in and smack the living shit out of us. It's a little bit humiliating when it gets to that point. But let's counteract some of that, because, I mean, I don't want to make a point of saying...
We're not
going to
turn this into a bitch and moan fest about how derivative everything
is. We're critical because we love it. And we're critical because we want it to be better.
Just to add one last point in, because, obviously, we're a fan of Secret Base and John Boyes, and it's something that John Boyes says a lot, and that even Jason Concepcion says a lot about his videos, where, like, both of them notice in their comments, a lot of people who watch their videos don't even watch sports. Like, they just find the videos entertaining.
Yeah, that's the point. Just be entertaining. If you can be entertaining, the subject matter doesn't really matter. Ironically. And that's certainly something that I think a lot of people could take notes for, rather than just saying, hey, here's our 2021 ranking, like, helmet ranking tier list, please watch, etc. You know, and I think we could do a lot better than that if we beat our heads together every once in a while. But on the flip side of that, we decided to beat our heads together and come up with a list of people that we like in this space. And yeah. we wanted to give them the rub on this pokey little motorsport show every once in a while. And what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room a little bit and just talk about X, Y, and Z and why they like them so much. Some of it is YouTube-based, some of it is written-based, some of it is podcast-based. Mm-hmm. You know, it all blends together. We didn't keep it all 100% motorsport because there's a couple of areas where, you know, there's some crossover, like video games. I mean, that was me for many a year. And sometimes the automotives in general. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that as well over the course of the list.
But, I think my strategy was to at least try, and I don't know if it was for everybody else, but just like, you know, there are a lot of established names and outlets that I could have mentioned. Yeah. I at least wanted to try and at least give the rub to people who I think don't usually get it enough in this space. Spoiler of mine, it's mostly video games.
Yeah. Video also, game just to mention it now, we're not mentioning Chainbear F1. We love Stuart.
Stuart's we love you, Stuart. Show. The man. You do the not man. Need the rub. In fact, you need to give us the rub, buddy.
Yeah. Yes, give us a rub.
Yeah, please. Please do, if you're watching, you know, you're welcome on any time, I'm just saying. But, Stu was very lucky to give us a rub when I was making videos about Bubba Wallace and Lewis Hamilton last year, and very, very grateful for that. It set off a mad chain of events for yours truly last summer, so I owe Stu several beers next time I'm in Ealing. Stu, if you're watching, thanks, buddy. Much appreciated. So, but you know, like there is varying sizes of popularity on this list. Some have silver badges on YouTube. Some haven't even got 1,000 subs yet. So, you know, there's a blend for everybody in here somewhere. I'm sure of that. Does anybody want to go first, or shall I go first?
I think we should go order of seniority. Dre first, me second, RJ third, Cam last.
I like that idea.
Order of seniority. I like that, King. I like that. me first. I mean, well, my first pick is... my main pick, I should say, was... I will say on the record, I am... Out of the four of us, I watch Dad's Car the least. And it's just a series that's never massively, massively connected or appealed to me. Like, I don't actively hate it or anything along those lines. When it's on, I watch it and I'm mildly entertained, but it's never going to be near the top of my list for motorsport series that I watch. However, there is one YouTuber that I like specializes in NASCAR content that I've really, really enjoyed in the year and a half or so I've been subscribed to him, and that's Slapshoes. Slapshoes is superb at what he does. You could tell a lot of care goes into the scripts he writes. And the mixture of NASCAR content he puts out is superb. And he will talk about more than issues with the sport, like the playoff format. He's talked about historical issues, like he does top tens, but they're entertaining. You know, it's not just, you know, I'm going to run off this list. But they're quirky. They're full of lore and history and stories. And again, it's extremely well written stuff. And you know, like, he could tell he's been inspired by other people in this genre and other people in sports in general. But it just, I'm not even a NASCAR fan, and I find this stuff deeply interesting, really well written, very funny at times as well. And just an all-round outstanding NASCAR YouTuber in general. And like I said, I don't even watch the series anywhere near regularly. And yet, I still immediately watch any new video he puts out. It is superb work. If you want a couple of pieces from me that I deeply recommend from him on his channel, which you can go to right now, my personal favorite is the 5-part series he did, what known as the Mark Martin Apologetics Tour. Now, for those guys who don't know, Slapshoes' favorite driver of all time is Mark Martin, quite arguably the greatest NASCAR driver to never win a major series title. And it was a 5-part history series on basically the 5 near misses of his career, where he came very, very close, but didn't quite win a championship. And not only, obviously, just the story of just being a runner-up, but how it affected his entire career, how it affected the sport around him. And it's a fascinating and emotional retrospective. And I was delighted when the man himself got a comment on the series as well. So I'm glad it got its just reward in the end as well, because it was a wonderfully done series. And as a guy that's not normally a NASCAR fan, found it moving and incredibly entertaining. The other one, which I thought was, again, very entertaining, and, again, based on people played Dungeons & Dragons and alignment charts, was the 9 different types of NASCAR winners, where if you ever see the alignment charts, and we've done it in our Discord before, so it could be very fascinating about where people put themselves. Lawful neutral, by the way. Just trying to relate that to people who have won races in NASCAR, and some of its most prolific figures, like the true neutrals, like Bobby Isaac, for example. And, lawful evils, drivers like, of course, the great Intimidator Dale Earnhardt, and where they fit into an alignment chart. And you can see how it pieces together and how it all makes sense. And, it's a fantastic video. I do, he's got many, many great ones, but if I had to pick out just one or two, Slap Shoes is superb, and as a guy that doesn't watch that much motorsport content full time, one of the very, very best out there, in my opinion. Whew, King, what about you?
My pick is, I think a lot of you guys know that I'm a big motorsports historian, that the history of motorsport is something that means a lot to me, but in terms of how it's portrayed by most major media places, including the TV broadcasters, is always in sort of this weird highlight form where the story of F1 is, Hunt, Lauda, Senna, Prost, Schumacher, hey, Alonso won one, Hamilton, Vettel, but we're going to ignore that, and then present day. And it's, and it's always in this highlight form, so, you only see the best parts, and you assume that's all the past was. And people have this really, it makes the rose-tinted nostalgia glasses even worse for people who've never experienced it before. And I'm glad that there's someone out there who's taking this in the complete opposite direction, and instead of showing just the best parts, it's all the parts. It's Relapse with Deanna, and obviously the channel's host, Deanna, she is making an effort to try to watch every single televised Formula One race from 1979 to the present. Do I think she's going to make it? Don't know, but it's going to be fun seeing if she actually gets there.
That's a shift.
And obviously, not even me have watched every one of these races. So, a lot of these races are new to me. And just sitting through just the experience of someone else watching these races, knowing how, number one, how exciting they can be, but just how terrible they can be, really just kind of gives you a full picture of what racing in, so far, the late 70s, early 80s, was really like.
Honestly, you're so right on that point. It is... Every time someone talks about the history of F1, it's the 70s or the 80s were the greatest thing to happen to the sport since sliced bread. Everyone talks about, people talk about nostalgia in a more positive light generally, regardless of culture. But in motorsport, it's particularly strong in that regard. And as a guy
that... There's so much glamorization of eras that, yes, had their high points, but also had many points where, is motorsport maybe should we really be doing this?
Right. It's the best and very much the worst. And yeah, the funny thing is, a little bit of a behind the scenes story. Me and King both had Deanna in mind when we were forming our lists. I conceded and on that one because I had two or three in mind, and I was like, okay, I'm, I've chalked Deanna off only because I knew King was going to mention her. So, no, if King wasn't going to mention her, I was going to mention her. So that was, you know, again, it's almost a double endorsement, if you want to call it that. So, no, her content is superb. It's funny, it's entertaining, it's informative, it's really slickly edited. Very well put together. And even if you're not the biggest historian fan out there, there's something there in it for you. And if you're into the more modern stuff, she even did a full reaction to season 3 of Drive to Survive, which, shall we say, is varied in quality.
Don't try to binge watch the entire season of Drive to Survive in one day, which you also have to go to work to.
Wouldn't recommend.
I
would describe that as ill-advised at best. But Deanna, superb. Check her out on YouTube at Relapt. I think it's Relapt F1 is the hard URL, but Relapt with Deanna should work probably just fine on that one. RJ, talk to me.
Okay. A lot of us get our knowledge of racing, and I don't know if it was for everybody, but I know for me, a lot of my love of racing came from playing racing video games of all different kinds, whether that's more simulation-oriented titles like Gran Turismo or more arcade titles like the Need for Speed, Ridge Racer, and such. There are a couple of people that I wanted to mention. I'll get to, but the first one that I wanted to talk about was the Time Extend Racing Game podcast. This is a podcast done by Adam Ismail, who currently writes for Jalopnik and has contributed as a writer to GT Planet in the past, so he knows and stuff. Him and his co-host Brendan Roarson will talk for about an hour or two about a number of racing games that have influenced not just the genre within itself, but also had a greater influence on racing games and it like just video games in general, really, and their influence on that. All of these episodes are well thought out. They're well constructed. I remember going back and listening because I wanted to go back and listen to some of their shows, and one of the ones that I really ranked, if I had to recommend like a starting point for the Time Extend podcast, it would be their two-part retrospective on the Ridge Racer series by Namco. It's very well thought out. They go and rank each game from what the two hosts felt was from worst, least good to the best. It took them two parts to get through, and it was a very honest, a very refreshing discussion about how great a lot of these games were at the time that they were released, and also a very frank discussion about how the missteps of the series over the years kind of led the series to diminish in terms of its mainstream relevance until it has ultimately, you know, vanished into extinction, which is a shame. Another one that I would recommend is the two-part retrospective on the Need for Speed series that they did, and just the different evolutions that Need for Speed has taken on throughout the years. Be it as a supercar-driven road racing experience like it was in the late 90s to the early 2000s, to being all about tuner car culture and street racing like it was in the underground days, and all the various different iterations it's taken back and forth along the way. Many of them good, some of them not so much, and also giving some love to ideas that were tried in games that are, shall we say, less loved. Like, I was amazed at Brendan's bravery to find the high points in critically panned installments like The Run and Pro Streets. Some of the love that some of the good ideas that actually flowed from those games that, honestly, games like Forza Horizon nowadays, I'd say those games are bad, but maybe there's something that they can learn from them. And then, of course, highlighting what games like Hot Pursuit 2 and High Stakes and Most Wanted 2005, like, all those are good. One thing I also want to mention is that their Discord community is some of the best. It's all like-minded people that are all really chill. Usually we all gather to play Gran Turismo Sport every Thursday, download our favorite arcade racing game inspired liveries to race in every now and then. I trust these dudes. I think it's a good podcast to listen to. It's one of the few that I listen to when I don't do my own podcast. So I definitely recommend them if you like some of the stuff that we do. Hey, I think you'll like this as well.
I had never heard of the Time Extend podcast, and I will definitely be giving that a listen, especially on Ridge Racer, because that is fascinating, because I remember playing the PlayStation games for that. I dedicated a lot of hours to the PSP version of the game as well, when the PSP was first a thing. I think towards the end of the 2000s, and I could never beat those Max Tours. They were a bitch.
It inspired me to pick up some of the older games, the more critically acclaimed titles. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot just how hard this is.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard as nails, some of the later games in the series. But like, again, as I'm a huge racing game nut, anyone that knows me well knows that. I mean, there would not be Harrison 101 if it wasn't for the fact I was a huge fan of racing games. And I didn't know what I was going to start my YouTube channel on when I first started with that. I chose F1 2010 and I stuck with it, and just via sheer dumb luck. But I always knew that was kind of going to be my calling, but that is a fascinating sounding show, so I will definitely be giving that a listen in the meantime as well. Cam, back to you, sir.
I was actually, I knew RJ was going to pick them, because I was also going to pick them, but that's okay. Time Extend are good people.
Yeah.
The primary one I wanted to mention is I haven't had a lot of time to really consume a lot of content lately.
Yeah.
Due to just things going on in life, you know, the world we live in now, but
it happens.
One content creator that over the last couple of years has really gained my attention and kept it is Mr. Arrow HD, who in the last couple of years has gone full-time as a Twitch streamer. And he describes himself as an automotive variety streamer, and that doesn't even begin to describe it. He creates content in various racing games of all ages, all levels of seriousness, from sim to arcade, Let's Plays, and just last week signed with a website called Traction.
Oh, yes.
As one of their bloggers.
Shout out to Justin over there.
All great people. Mm. And a favorite of mine from Arrow, and you got this from one of his, he kind of exists in a small pocket of content creators along with Rhino GT4, that guy who 100%ed all the Gran Turismo games. Another member of that community, his name on the internet is R.A.R. Chevette, first name Ian. And for the past few years, he's done a charity challenge of doing the 24 hours of Daytona on iRacing solo.
Huh?
What? Now, in 2019, Arrow took up this challenge himself, and about midway through the race, taking very short breaks to do as a human needs to do over the course of a day.
Comfort break.
Realized that he could go for the overall record for laps covered by one person in the sanctioned 24 hours. If he really pushed to the end. And the final hour of that stream is a man who has broken himself to do this. On a force feedback wheel, pushing as hard as he can. And at the end of the race, he had raised about $1,200 to the charity of his choice, a children's hospital, and achieved a total of 801 laps solo.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
with all of us, I was in the chat. I appear in the chat. Rhino was his spotter. Just, he's going through it in those final minutes, and he does all of his content with a tremendous amount of passion, a real talent for commentary, and picking games and showing them in a way that is very unique. he likes to put his own spin on things, his own sense of humor. His Discord community, very much the same. Lots of like-minded people. Watch parties in there for WrestleMania. God,
there's WrestleMania. There's a big sim racing games, motorsport, pro wrestling overlap, as it turns out, in our community.
Yeah, another piece I'd like to highlight as well is his Let's Play of F-Zero GX.
Oh, Lord.
He made it a point to 100% that game on maximum difficulty, and...
No, bad idea.
I tried that once when I was a teenager, and I admittedly...
I've done
still,
it.
I still have problems with gamer rage. I could not hold that back, streaming to the public. I don't know how this person did it.
Finding out that you can finish in F-Zero GX after running yourself out of energy and crashing over the line to pass the rubber banding AI was certainly an experience. And I'd love to see in the future, you know, there's a lot of things going on with Arrow now where he's getting opportunities as a full-time content creator. He's now a full-time commentator for Podium Esports in their Drift Leagues. He runs his own Drift League called Outrun, co-runs it with Ian, Rarchivet. And I love to see what content he creates on Traction, because I think he's going to be a huge addition to that team.
Absolutely. If I could add one more recommendation as well, because I didn't know that San Francisco Rush on the Nintendo 64 was prime speedrunning material until I watched that.
Wow.
Yeah. Arrow is currently speedrunning Rush, San Francisco Rush, and he's taking some lines through that game that I didn't think were possible.
Nor did I. I didn't think the handling model would be equipped for lines like that.
No. No, thankfully, not at all.
Thankfully, it's the Nintendo 64 version and not the PlayStation 1 version.
Yet. Yeah. Oof. Yeah, great pick there, Cam. Great pick. Back to me, I guess. For those who don't know me very well as being a motorsport fan, I'm just a huge car nut in general. I was born a petrolhead. My dad was a massive petrolhead. I had a poster of a Ferrari 550 Maranello on my wall when I was 4 years old. I'm a huge car nut, as you can imagine. I've watched pretty much every episode of Top Gear ever made, at least since 1992, anyway.
a poster of a Ferrari on a bedroom wall can do dangerous, dangerous things.
It can. It's why I'm very much single. despite that, car content, it's been a strange time for automotive content in general. A lot of people have branched off. A lot of people have taken that Top Gear model and rolled with it. And even ended up on Top Gear themselves as a direct result on it. Hi, Chris Harris. for example. And yeah, I'm a huge petrolhead. And again, we could go into car journalists for the next half hour if I really wanted to. But when he made his debut on Top Gear, I wasn't convinced on this man and what he could do. But I'd not seen his work before. But I've said it on this podcast, I've said it on Twitter numerous times. Rory Reed was one of the best things to ever happen to Top Gear. Clarkson, Hammond, and May, of course, had their time, and of course, they led Top Gear through its golden era in the mid 2000s. I'm not disputing or taking anything away from how good that was. But when he became one of the three main hosts after the Chris Evans season, shall we call it, alongside Matt LeBlanc and Chris Harris, Rory Reed was the modern breath of fresh air presenter that show so badly needed. After 15 years of Clarkson, Hammond, and May, it all gotten a bit stale. Anyone that's watched the Grand Tour should know that by now. That, you know, you've seen this. You've seen the joke beaten to death with a mallet by now. Yeah. And
Reed was a brand new ingredient thrown into an existing formula.
Yeah, he was modern. He was fresh. He was original. you know, he wore J's and River Island jackets on a show that was designed for smoking cigars and being exciting to 50-year-old dads. And in steps Rory Reid, who was, you know, again, just such a breath of fresh air and a live wire to a tired format. I'm not going to beat around the bush. The three-person car show has gotten massively stale over the last 20 years. But Reid was one of the best things to have happened to it, and I was crushed to an extent when I found out that they had moved him on. And don't get me wrong, side note, genuinely, Freddie Flintoff and Paddy McGuinness are doing a tremendous job on the new show. They've been way better than I thought they'd had any right being. And, you know, props to them. But I'm delighted that Rory Reid is now the face of Auto Trader on YouTube. And for those guys who don't know Auto Trader, it is a British institution in the UK. It is every magazine that every dad has had on the toilet whenever they need to take care of their business. They pull up the Auto Trader and they look in the used car section and think about cars they can never afford to buy. Yes, that was my dad for many, many years. And they have a YouTube channel now, and Rory Reid is the face of that, and he reviews cars. And but again, he's taken what made him so great on Top Gear and has taken that to his own channel where he has 100% creative control. And he's fantastic. He's informative. He's engaging. He's charismatic. He's funny. He doesn't take himself too seriously when reviewing these cars, but doesn't take any of that journalistic quality away. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of Harris's content as well, to a degree, because he still does his own content on YouTube still, as well as the show itself, and it fills a need, but I always leave Rory's videos with a smile that I don't get with Harris, because, yes, he's a spectacular driver, but I just find Reid so much more engaging to listen to and watch and talk about cars, and the passion really does shine through with him. And his review, like the two reviews stand out to me, are actually two very similar cars, believe it or not. It's the Ferrari 812 Superfast and the original version, which was filmed just after the UK came out of its first lockdown last year, just when we were starting to, well, I guess, say, have a little bit of normality in the world again. And there he is in a face mask driving an 812 and just going for a drive, and it just resonated with me so well when he did that review. And it was such a fitting review of the tires, even though we're talking about a £250,000 supercar that can rip your face off and go from 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, it still just felt so powerful and relatable all at the same time. And only about a month ago, he did it again, but with the GTS conversion of the 812. And it's still just so good. For a car that's, again, virtually the same as the original review he did a year ago, he put a different spin on it. It was more talking about how practical it was and being able to cook a bowl of pasta on the engine. And it was still so funny at the same time. And you still tap into those cars and what makes them great. And it's all just, see, like I said it on Twitter, he's just so, so good at this. And I wish he was still on Top Gear only because of the profile it would give him. But if you missed his time on Top Gear, please, if you don't know already, subscribe to Auto Trader on YouTube. He picks up right back where he left off, and it's some of the very, very best automotive content and journalism on the internet, period. Love you, Rory. You're fantastic, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thanks. Oh, Rory Reid, my bad.
I think it's a tremendous talent to have, that to create content that if someone clicks on it, they think they know exactly how it's going to unfold.
Yeah.
And you take a completely different spin on it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's just tremendous stuff. He's very, very, very good at what he does, and a very important force in automotive journalism, to say the least. King, back to you, buddy.
Yes, and it might not surprise all of you, but my another pick, my honorable mention is going to go to, again, something that is historically related.
But also historic motorsport, never.
But also related to gaming. where to me, I've always probably one of my like favorite parts about not only like racing games in general, but sim racing is that you can somewhat firsthand experience bygone eras of racing that you'll never see again, either because the tracks have been demolished, or the cars no longer exist, or for a variety of reasons just can't exist anymore, is that racing sims give you sort of a chance to go into a somewhat living museum where you could experience firsthand. And one of the channels that really highlights this is GP Laps. And Jake, who runs the channel, really not only, you know, does these races either mainly through Grand Prix Legends, but also like updated versions of Grand Prix Legends that people have updated through mods. Also, like, he uses a set of Corsa that is modded, but he doesn't just simply just do the races. He explains the history involving the cars and the tracks he races at. Sometimes he does recreations of historic races and does that while, you know, before the race, he explains what actually happened in the race. And, you know, he sprinkles historic facts throughout his drive. And it's a somewhat refreshing take on the whole Let's Play genre, especially for racing.
Yeah, like, I actually did check them out when you originally wrote that part of your list up, and it's superb. It really is. The detail, the passion, just seeing cars and tracks, to, you know, from maybe as far back as almost 100 years ago. It's fascinating stuff. And yeah, I subscribed when I saw that, and I can't wait to see what else is coming. Like, superb content.
Oh yeah. I've checked out some of Jake's stuff as well. Some of the other things that really fascinate me are just some of the retrospective in the simulation racing games that time seemed to forget. Yep. You know, because for every Grand Prix Legends or NASCAR Racing 2003 season that seemed to stand the test of time, there are a lot of others that have just gone by the wayside and were never played or aren't played as much as they were anymore.
Mm. Definitely. Great stuff. RJ, carry on by all means.
This one dips back into the racing game and just the video game space in general because, man, I'll tell you, As tired as parts of sports media on YouTube have become, I would say that being a video game critic on YouTube is a very, very, very exhausted space. So if you have my attention in that space, you're probably doing something right. My honorable mention, although I it feels disingenuous to her to say she's an honorable mention, she's the second person I want to mention. Casey. Casey Calhoun is a video game critic. She does reviews mostly of racing games, though she's also done her fair share of first-person shooters, rail shooters, things of that nature. One of the things that I really like about Casey's works is that she's not only willing to dive into like some of the more mainstream video game franchises like GT, Need for Speed, Test Drive, or what have you, but also to deep dive into some of the lesser known and lesser loved ports of certain games, like the portable versions of Need for Speed games that were clearly developed on a third-hand budget in the case of Need for Speed The Run's Wii version, or Need for Speed Undercover's PS2 version came out. Severely undercooked. So she takes time to outline, you know, the stories of how these versions were developed, who made them, and why they are charming in some ways and in other ways just ineffective. One of my more recent reviews of hers that I loved was her scathing take on Blackwater's propaganda rail shooter on Xbox Kinect.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Private Military Contractor Blackwater, after killing a bunch of civilians, including children, in the Iraq War, decided that they needed to whitewash their image a bit, and one of those ways that they would do so was partnering with Zombie Studios to make an official game on the Xbox, which is better with Kinect, as they say. But the problem is that the Kinect is done so poorly. And you could see it throughout the video that Casey's dog is jumping in the way of her. And the Kinect sensor thinks it's the dog just laying there that's like standing in as the person. So you can tell that this game was not made very lovingly. And even without the Kinect controls, when you get down to it, it's just like a worse version of all of your favorite rail shooters like Time Crisis, House of the Dead, etc., etc. And not just the fact that functionally these are terrible games with poor controls, no love or thought in the storyline, but also morally bankrupt as well. She puts this in the pile of games. The pile is where games go to just rot in her possession, so that way nobody else has the opportunity for that to ever be corrupted by these sorts of games.
It's a service.
It's a service.
It sounds like that website that would buy up copies of Genesis and Super Nintendo Shaq Fu cartridges to destroy them.
Oh, no. I'll tell you for free, the other two games that have made it into her pile are the PS Vita version of Call of Duty Black Ops. And the Wii version of Need for Speed The Run, which was already capable of being much shorter. But imagine making a short game even shorter. Imagine making a Need for Speed game bombarded with QuickTime events and shocky storylines and all that garbage. Just go over the top with that.
RJ, you need to tell me. Has she reviewed Spirit of Speed 1937 yet?
I will say, though, the video that got me into her stuff was her retrospective on Test Drive 6, or as Casey describes it, the worst game that I've ever loved. Because Test Drive 6 has a lot of fond memories for her, but as a game, especially the Dreamcast version of it, it is...
Yeah.
Awful.
I owned that. You know, it's really just the PlayStation version without the jumpy textures.
But somehow on the Dreamcast, which is supposed to be much more powerful than anything that came before it at that time.
Hang on. King, are you good up there? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
I'm
hugging you through the screen. I'm sorry, King. Sorry you had to listen to that.
The last edition of Laugh and Joke and Numb Nuts gifts to the world.
Oh, dear.
Test Drive 6.
Shout out Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yes, who doesn't need the rub, by the way. He's good at his own.
No.
He is very good.
Test Drive 6 just came out so underbaked, but it's also like, you know, like trying to find justification for why this objectively terrible game still holds so many fond memories. And to tie it back with my last mention, Casey actually did a special episode with the Time at Sten crew called The Rest of Need for Speed. And it's basically just like going through and talking for like a straight hour of like the influence of the first two Need for Speed games and how, you know, if you love cars, chances are you got into cars because of one of those two games, even though, and especially Need for Speed 2's case, didn't hold up that well as just like a functional game.
No.
But still holds a lot of influence. Like, personally, for me, that's how I fell in love with the McLaren F1, which is favorite supercar of all time. No cap. I think it's cool that in what is a very stale space, that Casey's out there thriving and doing her own thing and finding a very good audience for it. And I appreciate all the work that she puts into her channel. So if you haven't subscribed, I would go out of your way to do so and check out some of her videos.
Cam, back to you.
The second person I wanted to mention, I wanted to delve into more of actual motorsport journalism. And you've heard them mentioned on the podcast before, the best $4 you'll ever spend on Patreon, David Emmett, editor for MotoMatters.com. His content is shared between his Patreon and his website. And he's been at this a long, long time. And I think he is over 30 years of experience, never fearing the chance to call out someone on their bull jive. Today, as of recording, going on Twitter and saying, Johan Mir said, without saying it, that he had a dud rear tire.
Yeah.
Everything from technical insights on the bikes themselves to a look into the mind of those riding them. I think where David does a great job is looking beyond just the surface and taking the more complex aspects of MotoGP and breaking them down in a way that is very easy to understand.
Definitely.
Just recently, we had a pretty big topic in two-wheeled motorsport, the return of some guy called Mark. And I love the way he described him in practice. It certainly looked like Mark Marquez on the Repsol Honda. He pushed and bullied his RC213V around Portimao Circuit. The rear wheel hopped, the front tire squashed into the tarmac, both tires sliding at the very limit of adhesion, the chassis protesting as Marquez tried to tie it into knots, wrestling it from one side to the other.
Yeah.
That's what I love about that dude. That's what I love about watching Mark Marquez ride. Mark Marquez is the guy that I show to people who give no shits about motorcycle races. Just like, hey, yo, look at this dude sliding on his knees and elbows on this motorcycle.
Yeah. And he'll attack storylines all the way from the really big ones like that all the way to conversations in the paddock. He is an official accredited member of the MotoGP media. And so he gets a first-hand look at these sort of things, breaking down why certain bikes are faster than others, how to understand the tires, what goes on in the mind of a guy who's hanging on to a 320-horsepower, couple-hundred-pound missile traveling at, how fast was it again? 362 kph?
Yeah. 225 in Queen's English. Yeah, yeah. As you do. I mean, to follow on from Cam briefly, no, I've said it on this show, I've said it on Bike Live many a time when it was me and Lewis working together. He is the very best in the business. And not only do you get all that for $4 a month, you also get a lot of collaborative work. You get guest blogs from people like Matt Oxley, who again is another fantastic journalist in the space. You get some superb pictures and artwork as well from Cormac GP, who again, photography is outstanding. It's like absolutely world-class stuff as well. All that for basically a medium cost of coffee in the UK a month.
Emmett does not deal in low quality. He puts out a piece when it is done.
Exactly. And it is well worth it every single time. And like I said, $4 a month, basically £3 sterling. That is the biggest steal in motorsport journalism out there, as far as I'm concerned, bar none whatsoever. So I completely vouch for what Cam's saying. If you're a bike fan of any capacity, just spend the $4. You will get your money back 10 times over for the amount of quality content that you get. It is almost like being a journalist yourself, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. As you know, I've been a motorcycle fan since, the day I was born. I'm in a motorcycling family, and his content has taught me things that I never would have expected about what is a very complex top flight sport.
Indeed. Absolutely worth every penny. David Emmett, one of the very best, two wheels or four, as far as I'm concerned. Superb journalist. Exactly. Everything that's great about motorsport journalism comes from David Emmett. And trust me, sometimes there's not a lot of it out there. So when it is quality, it's only fair we signal boost it. And if you've not subscribed to David on Patreon, please do. And subscribe to us too while you're at it. You know, we're affordable.
We like to think we're quality. Sometimes it varies.
I will openly say on the record, the only person I am subscribed to on Patreon is David Emmett. And that's all I could ever need, quite frankly. That's pretty much all of our major recommendations in terms of motorsport and adjacent other industries, I guess you could say, as well. Please check them all out. Signal Boost and 10MM101 sent you, because they are all outstanding in their own right. And They deserve your time and attention, in some cases money, because they are fantastic. You know, and well, just before I get out of here, I guess it's that time I've got to do a little bit of a monologue to wrap it up. But 300 episodes.
Thank you all.
Yeah,
thanks,
my
guys.
God.
Thanks, holy Moses.
It's been nearly 7 years since we started this show. So it'll be 7 years in October. And this is, we're already at 290 episodes more than I was anticipating, because I said it many a time during these milestones, it was only ever meant to be a 10-episode run. And 300. I want a visual image of me kicking Cam into a giant hole. I'll shout in, "This is Sparta," because that is something that I never
bring it back to
ever,
2007. Are we?
never in a million years could I have imagined.
Why is the chrome paint peeling off of this car and there's scarlet red underneath?
never in a million years could I have imagined that we could have ever gotten to 300 episodes, a YouTube channel where nearly 3,000 viewers subscribed, over 110,000 total plays, which is just an insane count, and that's just on SoundCloud. That doesn't include iTunes, Spotify, wherever else we're at. It's unbelievable. That, and just once again, like, thank you to all of you for letting us into your homes, your ears, your AirPods, your overpriced Apple equipment in general, over the last 6.5 years, because it's special. You know, this is everything I could ever want in a media platform. I get to talk about the motorsport that I love to talk about with some of the greatest people in the world, and I wouldn't trade that in for anything, as far as I'm concerned. So thanks to everyone. I mean, some special shout out to everyone on the Motorsport 101 Discord. You are all family, as far as I'm concerned. Like family, we fight every 2 minutes, but I'm immensely proud of the community that we have over there. Some genuinely wonderful people from all walks of life, and I take personally, as the leader of the house, I guess, and I don't even really like calling myself that, but I take immense pride that, you know, you guys are one click on a phone away on Discord, or just a message and, you know, away, and it's wonderful to have that.
That's especially become more important than ever, you know, because if you didn't know last year, people were isolated from each other in the meat space.
Yeah. And as a guy
that got bad real quick.
Yeah, and as a guy that has always struggled with large group chats and settings, like, the M101 Discord has literally changed my life, because I used to panic and suffer from chronic, like, anxiety and overload just from being in a group chat before when I was a teenager. So to be able to sit there with some amazing people for hours at a time, just whether it be watching sports, playing games, or divulging in motorsport, what we all have a common bond and what we all love to do, is a wonderful experience. So shout out to everyone on there. Shout out to everyone that has backed us on Patreon over the last 6 years. Some have been around for over 4 of those 6 years, which is unbelievable support.
Yeah.
I do not exaggerate when I say this. You guys literally pay for everything, from the website management to the SoundCloud to the Discord, to what will be our recording home in Riverside once I start picking up the bill from King. So, which I will, I promise. You guys literally pay for everything. The podcast is entirely self-sufficient, thanks to 100% of your support. And for you to invest your hard-earned money in us is the greatest honor we could ever have. So thank you all so much to everyone that's backed us on Patreon, from $1 to 20 plus in some cases, which is just absolutely ridiculous. We are not worth $20 a month, let me tell you. But do you know how many Starbucks you could buy with that? I mean, Jesus. But your generosity does not go unseen or unheard. So thank you all so much for everyone that's backed us on there. Thanks to everyone that subscribed to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. I see your names, I see your tweets, you know, I do run the Twitter myself. You guys are tremendous, thank you. shout out to all our hosts, past and present, you know, even Kraken. They all have a part of
I didn't even know we got Metz's name.
I have to.
Oh, it's like Adam, but, Lewis,
yeah, like.
Yeah, all y'all. Zoe, yeah. Chris.
Oh, God, yeah.
We love all
very, very, very lucky to have them all. They've all played a part in our history. You know, Adam, this show wouldn't be here without him. And I'm gutted to get him here for the episode 300. But again, thanks to Adam. It was his original idea for us to have M101 as it is today, when we all beat our heads together 7 years ago and thought, this sounds like a good idea, let's run with it. And 300 episodes later, here we are. You know, well it was more like 270 by the time we thought, let's commit to this thing. But even so, it was unbelievable. Shout out to Zoe, who's been our best friend for half a decade now, who's always been willing to pitch in and sub and been a tremendous asset, especially with IndyCar in general, and is just the shining light in our Discord. Everybody loves Zoe. She's immense, and we love her to death. Lewis does so much behind the scenes you don't even know. He used to edit the show, even when he still offers to edit the show now, and he has the most amazing full time job head of Moto.
We're not jealous at all.
No, the man runs social media for MotoGP, and he still wants to edit our Pokemotoring show. And of course, not all of Bike Live was with Motorsport 101. Only a brief part of our history was with us, but I was so proud to have that show on our network. Oh, yeah. And I always try to continue the legacy of Lewis's work. He's not only that, but also one of the most incredibly humble, disgustingly nice dudes you will ever meet in your life. He's a wonderful human being, and again, without him, I would not be the host I am today. So I'm incredibly proud to call him a friend. And yeah, 300 episodes, and like, again, one more time, thank you to all of you. And without you, there is no us. And you know, the fact we're worth your time, your effort, your money is, especially in times as rough as this. I mean, thank God we can finally see a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to this pandemic. At least I'd like to think there is a glimmer of hope at the end of the tunnel now.
We can hope.
And then we can all finally go out and hang out at the bar together without worrying that some other weird shoe is about to drop. I know that happened the last time we all wanted to get together.
Yeah. King and I were going to hang out for St. Patrick's Day in 2020. That didn't happen.
Ooh.
But you know what that means? Bullet dodge. Hang out for St. Patty's 2022.
Yeah. I will end up in America at some point in 2022 to watch an IndyCar race live. I have to make that happen at some point. But again,
I just have to be there when I have to be there when I see when we see Dre meet Hinchcliffe for the first time.
Then a split second later, the internet implodes.
just two disgustingly handsome, charismatic podcast hosts meeting up for the first time. It's going to be like two worlds converging. at least I'd like to think so. You know, in my head, it sounds cool. A thousand thank yous to all of you. Like I said, especially in these difficult times, the fact you still deem us worthy of your time and effort is the most inspiring thing we could ever have. And I promise, on behalf of all of us here, we are going to continue to work very, very hard to have the best show we could possibly have. And I am very confident about the next 100, I guess you could say, if we keep rolling these milestones off. But sincerely, thank you all so, so much for all your support over the last 6.5 years and the last 300 episodes of Motorsport 101. I mean, that is I think it's close to 700 hours of total content. Let me put up the SoundCloud because even the playlist will tell me before I get out of town, but my God, it is a lot of content, let me tell you. I think it's something close to 700 hours. This is not my most professional job, but bear with me here for just a second. Yeah, actually, no, take that back. It's not quite as bad as that. I mean, if you include Bike Live, maybe, but I think it is literally, as of 298, which is the most public episode we've got as of time of recording, 499 hours of audio content.
That means we'll be over 500 when this episode comes out. Oh,
299 will take us over 500.
There's our two thresholds. 300 episodes.
500 total hours of podcast. But we really did run on too long all those years, didn't we, King? I mean, that's just ludicrous. Let me do the housekeeping, then we can get out of here before I end up becoming a blubbering mess like I did in episode 200. I kept it together this time. We call that growth, okay?
There's still time.
YouTube.com/Motorsport101. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Facebook.com/Motorsport101. Our handles are on screen at Harrison101HD, at Ryan Eric King, at RJ O'Connell, at CBuckley917. The podcast itself at Motorsport_101. We're on Instagram, Motorsport101Pod. We're on Patreon, .com/Motorsport101. If you really want to back us there, that'd be wonderful. $5 for all the audio episodes early, $10 for all the video content, and to be able to watch these live as they're being recorded. Our website's Motorsport101.com. I could barely get through this, but we'll see you back for editing hell as we get back to a ridiculous chunk of Formula E, IndyCar, and God knows what else for the next 300 episodes. But
me screaming into an abyss.
Yeah, probably. And you're not even editing the shows. That's King's job. I don't envy him right now. He's gonna look like the actual Scream painting by the end of next week. It's going to be hell. And who knows? We might even get those last two hidden episodes out as well.
he's gonna look like Stimpy from the Ren and Stimpy episode. The podcast's finished, Dre.
I can't hog all the show. If there's any words you guys want to say before we get out of here, fire away.
No, I'm good.
Oh my god. You know, in the past, almost 2 years, because I think my first episode was the Le Mans 2019 preview.
That's right.
I can't think of a better crew to talk motorsport with every week, for better and for worse. And here's to the next however many, I don't know.
All right, I got three assorted bottles, and I can have a toast here. I got the coffee. I've got the fizzy drinks.
All right, flavored
I've got
water.
This empty bottle of sparkling water. I guess we can all clank it together. Here's a toast to 300 more episodes.
Oh yeah.
This is not drinks.
This is expensive. I toast my DualSense.
I just doused myself in strawberry-flavored water at 9:30 in the UK. And
we did it for you! We did it for you all!
On behalf of me, Ryan King, Adam Johnson, RJ O'Connell, Cam Buckley, Zoe Hamilton, Chris DeHarde, Lewis Sutterby, and everyone at Motorsport 101, thank you for 300 episodes. Sayonara.
Later, y'all!
Bye, oh god.
So when are we getting that Spirit of Speed 1937 Let's Play, King?